it's here and now, and it is the summer driving season. But in Washington, lawmakers are facing gridlock on the issue of transportation. And if the blockage is not cleared, there would be an unprecedented shutdown of all highway construction projects at the end of this month. Congress is debating whether to allocate $11 billion for highway projects through the end of this year or $90 billion, which would fund them for the next 6 years. And keep in mind, the American Society of Civil Engineers' most recent report card gave U.S. infrastructure a D+. So many states and localities are pushing forward with public-private partnerships to fix their roads and bridges. As part of our View from the Top series of conversations with leaders, we're joined now by Richard Cavallaro, president and CEO of Skanska USA, part of the fifth largest construction company in the world. Richard, welcome. And why do you think it is so difficult to pay for infrastructure like roads and bridges in this country?
You know, that's interesting because it's like maintenance in your house, you know. No, there's not enough money to go around for a lot of stuff these days. And the easy thing is to just not do the maintenance. Someday you pay the price for that. So the easy answer is not deal with it today. But that's really a short-term view of what needs to get done. I mean, the long-term view is let's have a world-class infrastructure. Let's move people and products in a big way, and information, all that is part of that, so that we can compete in the world economy.
What do you think that would cost if the president and the Congress were to get on board and say, okay, we're going to do everything that needs to be done?
Well, there are estimates out there that are in the trillions. I mean, do I think we could take it all on? No, but we certainly could take a big chunk out of it. And I think we could put the money where, you know, we get the biggest bang for our buck for sure. But the infrastructure in the United States is in really sad shape.
What are some of the projects that Skanska is currently working on in the U.S.? Where is construction happening right now?
Well, it's a big program in Los Angeles right now that is being funded by the city of Los Angeles and their subway systems, a $30 billion subway program going on, which we have three of the projects there. We're working on the Brooklyn Bridge right here in New York, the 7 Line, the 2nd Avenue subway. So there are some outstanding projects. We just completed the UN here in New York. One of my faves always to talk about is MetLife Stadium. Here in New York, New Jersey area.
And of all those projects, bridges, tunnels, stadiums, what's the hardest thing to build these days?
I would say anything in a big urban area is always difficult because you never get the ability to actually shut something down to build something new. You always have to kind of carve it up in little pieces and attack it. I mean, one of the projects I love to talk about all the time, we replaced a section of the FDR Drive. And, of course, you can never interrupt the traffic on the FDR Drive. We had to build a temporary roadway out in the river, move the cars out in the river, rebuild the intersections, and then move the cars back. I mean, the temporary construction was a significant piece of the cost. I mean, a cheap way to have done it, of course, would be shut the FDR down and just rebuild it. But that's just not possible. So anytime you're working in an urban environment, you have to keep traffic flowing. You have to keep people moving. And I think those create lots of challenges for contractors.
Lots of challenges. And when you compare what happens in this country to what happens in China and how fast they're able to build things, why is that? Why does it seem that the Chinese are able to build miles and miles and miles of high-speed rail or underground subways or roads or bridges so much faster than we can?
Well, a lot of those are greenfield. I don't know that everybody in China has the same amount of voice that we have here. I mean, there are a lot of stakeholders in projects. You look at Ground Zero. I mean, it took a long time to get it off the ground and into construction because there were so many stakeholders and so many voices that had to be heard, dealt with, and negotiated with before the project could start. So I think that's part of it. As an American, I have to say, sometimes harder to get started, but I also think that's probably right. I mean, everyone should have their voice and, you know, create a project that everybody's happy with instead of just, you know, kind of ramrodding a project through.
What is the state of your industry right now? We know that the recession really dealt a big blow to the construction industry and construction jobs, more than 2 million jobs lost between 2007 and 2010. Where are you now?
Definitely on the upswing. Certainly not back to the peaks that we had in 2006 and 7. I would say it's a positive outlook. But the big issue for us is for there really to be really strong feeling of, you know, things are taking off as if we had a true source of funding. And we really don't. I mean, states have taken it on. Cities have taken it on. But, you know, the feds have not really taken it on. And we'd love to see a steady source of funding so we can move forward. But the one thing that really has filled the gap is in the triple P, public-private partnership. You know, we're seeing a real pipeline of projects. I mean, states are getting serious about using it as a delivery method. And, you know, we landed I-4 project in Orlando in Florida. We're finishing up the Midtown Tunnel job in Virginia. Those are two huge projects that are privately funded that would not have happened without the triple P model.
We're speaking with Richard Cavallaro, who's the president and CEO of the huge construction company Skanska USA. That's part of the Skanska Global team. And I want to ask you about the environment, environmental standards, because the construction industry accounts for a huge percentage of global energy usage, of global water usage, of the usage of raw materials around the world. But Skanska actually pulled out of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce because it didn't feel that the Chamber of Commerce was going far enough on being green. You're kind of an outlier in the industry.
That was an unfortunate situation, but yeah, we felt like, the LEED certification and what's going on in the world and now Envision in the kind of the infrastructure market is something that we need to take on. We need to build in an efficient and sustainable way. Sometimes we get focused on the today cost instead of the life cycle costs. So we're as a company, we're focused on that. We think it's important, something that we need to lead the industry in, and sometimes not everybody's on board with us.
Well, is the industry on board with you on this one? Have they come around, your competitors?
Definitely our competitors. I mean, LEED certification now is almost a standard in the building industry. Very little gets built without that. And we have a big commercial development business where we build buildings and sell them to investors. And investors, that's all they want to buy. I think that it will even go further than that. And there's these living, the net zero buildings or living buildings where they produce their own energy and produce their own water are the future for buildings. And I think that's a reality. I mean, we have the technology. Now we just have to be economical in how we build those.
Well, give me an example of something that you would do now that you wouldn't have done 15 years ago to make a building greener.
All kinds of things, from simple things like light switches that turn lights on and off as you walk out of a room to, you know, using rainwater to cool, to create chilled water. I mean, there are a magnitude of things. Things from, like, you can go as far as growing grass on a roof. So there are many, many things that can make a building more efficient. And the biggest thing is to get energy efficiencies, because if you can get energy efficiencies out of a building, there's a real dollar savings, and that offsets the cost of, you know, doing some of these additional capital upfront costs.
Skanska has also faced some allegations over the years of corruption, and I don't want to go into the details of each of these cases, but needless to say, when you're operating in countries all over the world, some of which, you know, bribery is just part of the way you do business. How do you stop that kind of thing from happening and make sure that everything is above board?
I mean, it's a big challenge for a company of our size. I mean, we spend a lot of time and effort training, and setting expectations on how we do business. And unfortunately, we've had situations where it has not gone so well for us. But you have to stay on that, and you also have to react appropriately when something arises. You can't just kind of bury your head. You know, you have to kind of get out there and say, you know, if we made a mistake, you know, own up to it and do the best you can to fix it. But the biggest thing is to create a workforce that understands our expectations. And I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about what we build, but we're spending a lot more time talking about how we build it, meaning what are our values, what are our expectations, what are society's expectations of us as a major constructor. But sometimes the culture of a country overcomes that, and that has put us in some bad positions.
As you look around the world right now, where are you seeing the most demand for construction?
Well, the U.S. is the largest construction market in the world, so we are happy to be here. And, you know, as big as we are, we're less than 1% of the construction market in the U.S. If you look at our Swedish business, which is a very, very strong business, they own 25% of the construction market in Sweden. So you could see where the opportunity to grow is here. I mean, we have a lot of blue sky out in front of us.
Were you somebody who as a kid was building things with blocks and Legos and stuff like that?
Always. For me, it was an Erector set. You're probably too young to even know what that is.
I remember an Erector set, but I had the Lego airport. That was my thing.
All right. Well, that was a challenge.
That was a challenge. I don't think we ever got any international flights to land in there, but Richard Cavallaro, President and CEO of Skanska USA, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And you can hear more of our series View from the Top with leaders of all kinds of industries at our website hereandnow.org.